A Humboldt County judge has issued a split ruling in the case of the People versus Rick Toledo. That's the Cal Poly Humboldt graduate student and campus activist facing misdemeanor charges connected to the February pro-Palestine protest which briefly occupied Nelson Hall on campus. Toledo's defense won on a major front, a mission Toledo's attorney, Matthew Killigrew of the Civil Liberties Defense Center, called a side quest apart from the ultimate goal of defeating the charges entirely. They won on the motion asking for the return of Toledo's seized electronics, but they did not prevail as to the challenge on the felony arrest warrant itself, despite there currently being no felony charges on the table. Still, the judge rejected the challenge to the arrest warrant which started the case, but upheld the challenge to the separate search warrant. Back in March, Toledo was arrested and charged with misdemeanor assault, battery, and false imprisonment after the February 27th protest, where he is accused of briefly blocking a staff member, Michael Moore, while masked demonstrators entered the building behind them. Weeks later, police seized Toledo's phone, computer, university laptop, and other devices, citing a felony conspiracy charge that was never actually filed. Toledo's attorney spent the summer challenging both warrants, the one that authorized Toledo's arrest and the one that authorized the seizure of his devices. On August 31st, Judge Stephen Stewart granted the motion in part and denied in part. The court agreed with the challenge to the search warrant covering Toledo's electronics, finding the affidavit behind it, quote, too attenuated to justify the search. Judge Stewart went further, reasoning that while there was, quote, some coordination among the people involved that day, the warrant, according to Judge Stewart, quote, does not establish a probability, unquote, that an actual conspiracy was underway, and he noted that if mere possession of a device during an alleged crime were enough to justify seizing someone's technology, then the Fourth Amendment's protections would be functionally null. With that, the judge ordered Toledo's property returned, pending a formal order from defense counsel for his signature. Killigrew didn't get everything he asked for, but he says the process itself left him satisfied.
We're thrilled. This is great. This is a good result. I didn't 100% agree with the judge's conclusions in all things, like surprise, surprise. I would at least appreciated the attention to which he gave everything. Even though reasonable minds can differ there, like, it's not like the court didn't actually give a fair hearing to the things that we raised. So I was very pleased to see that happened. Like, I wrote the motion. I made the motion. I don't agree that the arrest was proper for the basis that I pled. But, if someone were going to disagree and they were going to do it reasonably and on a, they were going to, do it on a rational legal basis, they would do it the way the judge did.
Killigrew explained in an interview that the fight over the arrest warrant came down to a narrow legal question, whether Toledo's arrest should have been carried out as a felony-level arrest rather than a misdemeanor one, not whether an arrest was justified at all. He calls the property fight the main event and says it's now resolved in Toledo's favor. Looking ahead, Killigrew plans to formally request a judicial diversion. That's a program that allows a judge, rather than a district attorney, to decide whether Toledo can complete a set of terms in exchange for the case eventually being dismissed.
People can play real fast and loose with the Constitution. And I think you see examples of that with the police. And so I was relieved that that's just not how it actually shook out once we got into court. Cold-lighted at it. We filed a brief on it. We got a fair hearing in front of the judge. The judge saw the issues and I think ruled appropriately. And I don't want to be a cynic, but that just doesn't happen every day. You don't always get a fair hearing on a legitimate issue. To get a fair hearing and then to have the judge agree and rule what I think was probably the only appropriate ruling, which was to suppress the evidence and return it. You always kind of, as a defense attorney, breathe a deep sigh of relief because you know that that doesn't always happen, not just the ruling part of it, but the fair hearing part of it. So it's just kind of like, oof, man, what an ordeal. But now it's kind of over. And so we got to get back to work on the main event.
The months since his arrest have cost Toledo more than just his devices. He's been barred from campus under a stay-away agreement and has lost his on-campus job.
And, you know, it's a big victory that we got these things back. As far as I can tell, they never even were able to get into them. So, you know, I think it just shows how unserious these university police were the entire time. And when it came down to it with the motion, the entire conspiracy charge was from the head of Officer Falk. She dreamt this up. She invented this charge. She had no evidence to prove it, but she hoped that by creating this charge and taking my things that she would create some kind of case, find some kind of thing that she could then use. And that's illegal. It's illegal for them to take your things in an exploratory way like that. And so it's good that the judge recognized this. It's good that we are getting these things back. You know, I'm glad to finally have my video game PC and my hard drives with my games on them and these things that were of no use to the police whatsoever back, but are of, you know, a lot of value to me.
He says he's prepared to go to trial if a request for judicial diversion does not get approved. The order returning his property still needs the judge's signature before it's enforceable, and attorney Kellegrew says that the exact handoff logistics are still being worked out. For KMUD News, I'm Ryan Hudson.